So as we come to the point of unpacking that verse, let's just have a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we come to look at it a bit more and at this harvest season, may our hearts and minds be open to hear and receive from you. And may the words that I've prepared be heard and of use to those amongst us, and as it has been to myself. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I've been reminded whilst preparing for today of a chorus I sang as a little girl. But it actually comes from the Bible, as quite a lot of our songs do. And the verse is from one of Paul's letters to the Philippians. And it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And my question, is that something that we truly believe? Do we really believe in God's blessing? I asked that to myself as I was preparing. See, at this time of harvest, we take pause to be thankful for just that, as we've looked at throughout the whole of our service this morning, for God meeting the physical needs. We've got this food here and other essentials for getting through life, for being clean as well. There's some cleaning stuff, for being healthy. But harvest is also a time as well that we can share what we have been blessed, which again is what we've got here. We've seen in some of the encounters with John, as we've been working through John here in church, that Jesus wants to bless us with more than just meeting our physical needs. He wants to bless us to meet our spiritual needs too, for us to know him, to know the skills that we were born with, that he gave us, that he created us with, and to see blessings in our life that are beyond the physical. So that is our focus this morning. Jesus' generous and abundant blessings, and how we can share his blessings with others. So I don't know if you've got the Bibles open, but it'd be good if you did have a Bible to have a look at the passage, but don't worry if not. But as we go through the feeding of the 5,000, it might be a really common story to us. How many have heard that story before? Yeah? Yeah, most hands, some not, but that's okay. But some of us will have heard that story quite a lot of times. It's a great miracle. There's 5 loaves, there's 2 fish. Jesus takes the food, he gives thanks. The food is given out, and there are 12 baskets that are left over. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And it shows Jesus' power in multiplying the food. It also shows his compassion in caring for the huge crowd that was there with him. For many of us, it's probably a really familiar story. It is for myself. It's one I've definitely heard from childhood, one that I've used in assemblies, I've used in after-school kids' clubs when I worked as the children, youth, and families worker. But the version that I was taught seems to be a combination of the different accounts of the miracle that can be found in the Bible. You see, other than the miracle of Jesus' resurrection, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only other miracle that's recorded in all 4 books of the Bible that tell us about Jesus' life. We call them the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the feeding of the 5,000 is in each of those 4 books. And you see, there are differences between the accounts. And as I was looking at John's account, there were new things that came to me, that struck me about this miracle. I noticed some distinctive features that we're going to explore that help us to think about God supplying for all our needs, both the physical and the spiritual. Helps us to think about his abundant blessings and sharing those blessings with others. So we're going to use our harvest letters. I think we're just going to imagine our harvest letters. But we're going to imagine those harvest letters that we looked at earlier. And we're going to think about these things, about God supplying all our needs, both physical and spiritual. We're going to think about how those blessings are abundant, that God wants to abundantly bless us. And we're going to think about how we can share those things with others. So you might already be thinking, I know the words that Claire's going to use. The first word you might not get, but is eat. Okay, the first word is eat. So in verse 5 of our passage, Jesus says to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? There was a physical need, and Jesus knew he was about to supply that need, that he would satisfy the physical need of the crowd for food. And he asked the question of Philip. You might think, well, why did Jesus ask Philip? But I think he asked Philip because he wanted to see if Philip believed that Jesus could provide for that need. And it made me think, how am I at trusting that Jesus will provide for my physical needs? Not my wants, but my needs. I wonder, how are we trusting that God will provide for our physical needs? Is it something that we pray about? Or do we rely on our own finances, our own ability to provide for those things? I was really struck. I've been to Uganda a few times, and there's a real sense of crying out to God for their needs every day, because they really have to. And some of us will have to do that too. Some of us will have to scrape to get to the end of the month. Jesus was using this miracle to satisfy the physical need. But like the other encounters that we've seen in John, Jesus was showing them more than just the physical. It's more about having our needs fulfilled here and now. There's a spiritual side to what Jesus provides for us too. You see, when the crowds see the sign of Jesus breaking this bread and the fish and giving it out, it's interesting in John's gospel that there's an emphasis of the bread being left over. I don't know if you see that further down the passage, but the bread was left over. There isn't any mention of fish, but it's the bread that was emphasized. And it gives echoes of that idea of Jesus providing for spiritual needs too. Later on in the chapter, in verse 35, he tells the crowd that he is the bread of life, that he can provide for those spiritual life-giving needs. And we've looked in bits further back in the gospel how Jesus is telling people about this eternal life, that there's no need to hunger and thirst for the things that they don't have, but to have fulfillment in Jesus. So how do we feed our spiritual appetite? What was the word we're thinking about? Thank you. Eat is the word. Seems a bit strange, doesn't it, to think about spiritual eating? Maybe a better question would be, how do we encounter Jesus? How do we meet with God? How do we feel filled up, refreshed? What revives us? For one of my friends, that involves swimming in the sea. Does anyone else feel that way? It's where she meets with God, in the ocean that he created. It's how she offers him worship, swimming in the waves. Even in winter, slightly mad. I mean, I do love the sea, but slightly mad. But we can meet God anywhere, can't we? He's there. He created the whole universe for us. I've got another friend who feels spiritually refreshed when they're studying the Bible, when they're going really deep and reading really big books about theology and thinking about God. They feel refreshed and revived, and they meet God in all that academia. I feel really refreshed through extended periods of sung worship and reflection on God's word through journaling. There are many different ways that we can encounter God and connect with God. How do we feed our spiritual appetite? Do we expect to come to church on a Sunday, be fed, that does us, that tops us up for the week? Or are there other ways in the week that feed our spiritual appetite? I don't imagine the people, I mean, I could be wrong, I was not there in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but I imagine that they still needed food the next day. There was still a hunger for food of the physical kind. It happens every day we eat. And it made me think of the same, that there's something in the everyday we need to connect and feed from God. To plug into Jesus, some people call it, to be with him, connect with him. So what helps you encounter faith in Jesus? What helps you grow? See, our God wants to supply both our physical and spiritual needs, growing in love and trust in him, and leading to our more and more certainty of eternal life. See, I've been challenged as I'm preparing this to be more aware of that, to be aware of how I meet with God, how I experience his blessings. And there are many of them in this miracle, which brings us on to our second word. So this miracle reminds us that his blessings are abundant. So thinking about abundant, what word might you think? It's kind of the opposite of abundant. Can anyone remember the letters? George. Starve. Fantastic. I heard starve from somewhere. Starve is the word. So in verse 7, we learn that the amount of food that would have been needed to feed everyone was more than half a year's wages, 8 months' wages. That amount of food was an extremely generous provision. Does anyone feel like being that generous, giving 8 months of their salary to feed? I don't know how many we would feed, but that's generous. That's a generous amount of food, of giving. There was no chance that the crowd would starve, though. You see, that amount of food was generous, but not only did Jesus provide for their food, he did it abundantly, so he probably would have spent way more than 8 months' salary. There was no chance they were going hungry. In verse 11, we read that they had as much as they wanted, not as much as they needed. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I have a plate of food, and I only probably need half, but it's so nice that I just eat more. I've got some nods. I'm not alone. But sometimes we eat more than we actually need. And Jesus is providing this for the people. He's providing more than they need, as much as they wanted. And they all had enough to eat, we read in verse 12. There was plenty. And more than that, how many baskets were left over? Yeah, just shout it out to me, George. 12, good shouting. There were 12 left over. And good shouting from everyone else too that I heard. There was more than enough. There was plenty. There was excess. There's abundance. I wonder, do we expect to be blessed abundantly by God? Or do we think that God is rationing out his blessings to us? Do we ever think that? I have to confess that I think I have thought that in the past. That I've sometimes thought, well, am I really worth being blessed by you, God? Am I worth it? And God quite definitely says to me, yes, Claire, yes, I want to bless you. And he's saying the same to you as well, even if you're not called Claire. But you see, I've got an example of that in coming here. I was looking at places you have to kind of tick boxes to say where you would want to go and serve, your curacy. And I didn't mind. I was happy to be anywhere, to do anything. And as it got nearer, I just really felt, actually, God, I'd really like to be in a town. I think being in a lot of villages wouldn't be good for me as being on my own, and it would be great to be involved in a town. Like, I could really do with that. And then a week later, I remember thinking, actually, God, I love being by the sea. I'm from Folkestone in Kent originally too, so another seaside town. And I was like, Lord, I'd really like to still be by the sea. I love the sea. I'd really love to be by the sea. A week later, the email came through my box. Would you like to consider Ramsgate? And I was so excited. I was like, Lord, you even provided before I even had realized what I needed, because probably that had been decided probably a month before I'd received the email. God wants to bless us. And I feel even in here that I've been really blessed already. We're worth his blessings, and he's longing to lavish them on us, to give them to us 100-fold. And those blessings could be a great place to live, good friends to be amongst. Those blessings could be our giftings, our ability to sing, our ability to just smile. Don't ever knock the gift of a smile that can be. There are lots of blessings, the ultimate blessing being a relationship with Jesus, an eternal life with him. But there are many blessings he gives us here and now. And so what do we do with those blessings? Well, when I was blessed with being able to come here, that enabled me to hopefully be a blessing to you as you are to me. I know it's early days, but give me a chance. But there's that sense of, as we want to bless, when we've received blessings from God, we long to share that with others. So the third word, I've already said it, share. The third word is share. Jesus wants us to share his blessings with others. So if we look at verse 8 in our Bible, we see Andrew approaching Jesus. And in verse 9 he says, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" See, this is the only account of the feeding of the 5,000 where the little boy is mentioned. We probably think that's common in all of them, but actually it's only in John's Gospel that the little boy is mentioned. And it's in this account that the bread is specifically referred to as being made from barley. And barley was a grain that was used by the very poor. And although our translation says 2 small fish, a more accurate translation from the Greek is more like 2 pieces of fish, not even a whole fish. You see, this generous, abundant giving that Jesus does from these loaves and pieces of fish came from a place of poverty. The thing that started was from the absolute poverty that this little boy had. And yet Jesus was able to abundantly bless others from that tiny amount. I wonder, do we sometimes feel that we have nothing to bless others with? Whether that be in terms of physical wealth or even our physical health. Wealth and health, I did get that right, didn't I? Yes. Or do we think, actually, I don't have a gifting. I'm not a good speaker. I can't hold a tune. Where can I serve? What can I do? But actually, there is something we can all do. Like I said, don't underestimate a smile. God has given us and made us to be us. And so as we explore more who he is, we discover more who we are and how we can share the things he's given us with others. See, if we're willing, God uses us in our weakness and in our frailty. With the few things that we have to share, he can abundantly bless others. So like the little boy, what do you have that you can bless others with? You might have a lot of time that you can give to some things, to help out with activities. You might have the ability to bake. You might love music. You might love just to chat. Who doesn't love to chat? There's some that don't. But that's such a gift for someone who might be isolated that could do with someone to chat to on the phone. There are many things we can do to bless others within our church community and within our wider community. Out of the little, we have great blessings that can be shared. Just before we get towards the end, there was another significant thing in John's account, and it's the stress on the fact that Jesus commanded the bread to be collected so that there was no waste. He's really specific about that in John's account. See, God has made each of us and called each of us to know him, to have a relationship with him. So let's share that with others so that they would know that too. Let's not waste that good news, that message of hope that we have. We want to be able to share that with others too. Another blessing we can share. So as we think and reflect on those things this morning, on this passage, on harvest, I want us to think about how our God does want to supply for all our needs, both the physical and the spiritual. So let's keep asking him for what we need. Let's seek him more and more in our lives. Let's remember that his blessings are abundant. Let's trust Jesus' love for us. He's not a God of rations. He wants to give us more and more. Are we ready for that? And God blesses us so that with whatever we have, we can bless others too. So we may all know the abundant blessings that Jesus brings now through knowing him and for eternal life. So let's just pause, and I'm going to pray that for us this morning, that we would receive some of those things that we have discussed. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this harvest season. We thank you that we can know you, that you long to bless us with a relationship with you. Lord, you long to fulfill our physical needs and our spiritual needs, both here and for eternity. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be more open to hear from you and to receive you into our lives. Lord, help us to know how we can learn more about you and connect with you in the week, that we're fed spiritually, not just in one meal on a Sunday, but that we eat constantly you in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would be able to bless others with the truth about you, using the gifts you've given us. So Lord, speak to us now and show us how you want us to move forward with you in faith, to receive more blessings and give more blessings to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.